Okay. All right, now we're actually recording for real. Hello, you're listening to the... Oh, wait, what are we doing?
Hello and welcome to the okay. S-Words podcast.
Yep. What was the opening again?
Hello and welcome to the S-Words podcast, a roundtable discussion about pop culture subjects beginning with the letter S. I am not Kevin Chu.
I'm not Kevin Chu either.
I'm not Kevin Chu.
I might be Kevin Chu. I'm Kevin Chu.
I'm Dominic Nguyen.
I'm John Condon.
I'm Danny Sudivarkal.
Hey, S-Words is back on somewhat of a schedule.
Woohoo!
And this week's S... This episode's... Not weeks. This episode's S-Word is Tony Stark having to do with Iron Man.
Yeah.
Because Iron Man just came out. Iron Man 3.
Iron
the
Man
movie
3.
That John told us he would not go see.
Yeah.
And then he went to see it.
Well, you guys asked me to. And,
wait,
you
why
know,
didn't you
I
go,
was
want
to go
see it?
Go through the pain of... the presumed horribleness of Iron Man 3.
Oh, right.
I didn't think it was going to be horrible. I mean, because there's Iron Man 2. I saw 2. There's no way 3 could be worse than 2.
Wow.
Because they're already like, nobody liked 2. We better make 3 better.
We've already established that you always set things, your expectations.
Yeah,
high.
My expectations for this movie was a 5 out of 10, and it got a 6 out of 10. That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's true.
I went with like 2 out of 10, but
and you got a 6 out of 10.
It was a 6 out of 10, so I was really happy with it.
All right, cool. So, just you know, we're gonna just say this upright. You guys spent $180 million on watching this movie this weekend, so I'm assuming everybody that's listening to this has already seen Iron Man 3. So we're not even gonna bother with spoiler warnings. Anything is fair game from this point on in terms of spoilers.
This is your only warning
in terms of anything to do with Iron Man or any other movie.
Besides, I mean, Extremis was from 10 years ago.
Why did you? Did we
who
get
wrote it?
Or something?
Warren Ellis.
Who drew it?
I don't know.
Oh,
sorry. What was it?
A.D. Grinov.
Dang it!
The one that popularized the actual modern day Mark III armor.
Okay.
Speaking of which, we got to Mark 42. That Mark 42 armor is really ugly.
It kind of did get well. Even before it got all beat up, it was pretty ugly.
Why did it have to have so much bronze?
Maybe Shane Black just liked it. Well, actually, no, it wasn't even Shane Black's idea. Like, Shane Black would probably have barely anything to do with the design of the suit.
Well, Shane Black didn't even want him to be in the suit for most of it, which is good.
Yeah.
Any superhero movie where the actual character is being the superhero is a bad superhero movie.
I can understand.
Yeah, actually, I agree with that.
Like Blade Trinity, X-Men Origins Wolverine.
The Matrix.
The Matrix Reloaded. The Matrix Revolutions.
Wait, those movies
Batman
came out?
Batman and Robin.
Oh, so Neo's a
Star Wars
now?
Episodes what? 1 through 3.
All right. Let's get back on track here. So,
Street Fighter, The Legend of Chun-Li.
Let's just start with our baseline question, which is, what did you expect going into this movie, and what did you get? Like, we've already heard that from Kevin, a little bit from John.
I expected nudity, and there was none.
Really?
No, I'm kidding. We were talking about how much better this would have been if it was R.
Really?
Oh.
Yeah.
Anything with Shane Black should be better with R.
I have to ask, what else has Shane Black directed?
He directed Kiss Kiss Bang Bang before this, which nobody saw, which is a great action movie. But he also wrote Lethal Weapon and Long Kiss Goodnight and a bunch of other like action movies from around that time.
Okay.
He is experienced with that kind of movie. Huh. So when he was announced for Iron Man 3, I was like, wow, this is actually a good choice. This might actually be an exciting movie.
But then they...
It won't be Iron Man 2.
Okay. Danny?
Well, that's the thing. I didn't have any expectations for Iron Man 3 at all, mostly because, well, it's not like they were going to bring back the heartwarming story of Tony Stark and his father, Walt Disney. So I didn't really know what to expect. Like, and I purposely avoided the trailers.
Okay. John?
Well, I expected, because I did see the trailers, that Mandarin would show up and say, I'm the Mandarin, Tony Stark. I beat you down, and Tony Stark would fall, and then he would come back, and he would beat the Mandarin, and that would be the end of the movie.
And you expected magic then, right? Because the Mandarin's mystical.
No, I just didn't even care about that.
Magic.
Saw...
He would just go, wooga, 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 wooga.
Yeah,
and then like
that.
Light would come out of his rings, and then Tony Stark would be beaten up by a giant green boxing glove.
Yeah, some, you know.
Ten,
I was going to assume...
Ten
I was going
giant
to assume
green boxing gloves.
Ten of
rings.
Them. Yes.
It's either that or 2 Captain Planets.
Yeah. Since I don't know the backstory of the Mandarin, I just, other than that...
He's Chinese and evil.
Yeah.
Evil Chinese.
Yeah.
That makes
him
magical.
You know, though I you know, might be jumping ahead on this, but I liked how they did the preview and made me think that of that expectation. And then when I actually saw the movie, it was completely different. That made it a lot better for me.
So can we just go right into that big spoiler then about the Mandarin?
Sure.
Because I think you were the one, Dom, that was most concerned about the portrayal of the Mandarin.
With Ben Kingsley, yeah.
Sir Ben Kingsley. He was in Blood Rain.
He was in Blood Rain as Sir Ben, Academy Award winner, Sir Ben Kingsley. But then again, you know, we can also say the same thing about Academy Award winning Mr. Don Cheadle. So, you know.
Yeah.
Or also the fact that Gwyneth Paltrow is also an Academy Award winner.
That's true.
They are all Academy Award winners except for Robert Downey Jr.
Who was only nominated for Chaplin, right?
And Tropic Thunder.
And Tropic Thunder? Oh, okay.
Huh. Oh my God, for Tropic
Thunder. Yeah, that's a range right there.
Wow.
But anyway, but yeah, like, so there were a bunch of conflicting expectations I had going into this. Like, I was worried about Sir Ben Kingsley as the Mandarin because, I mean, Red Dawn came out last year, and that's like, oh God, the Asians! Oh no, the Asians! You know, that was really distressing.
But nobody watched Red Dawn.
Yeah, thank God for that. And then there was also, like, they were saying that they were taking inspiration from Extremists, they were taking inspiration from Five Nightmares. And then the one thing that gave me the most hope was the trailer that starts out with, like, I'm Tony Stark. You know, and then it's sort of really quiet, and he goes, but so why can't I sleep? So I thought it was going to be a very personal movie. Mm-hmm. I thought it was going to be very much like that Five Nightmare storyline. I thought, you know, maybe the real villain is going to be Ezekiel Stane again, because they really had that tie-in, which it wasn't, but oh well. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I thought it was going to be a much more personal movie. I thought it was going to be very, like, it was kind of the movie that I thought that Thor could have been if it wasn't so busy trying to be on a schedule, you know? Because, you know, it's like, he starts out in a high, haughty place, and he gets broken, and it's about him trying to rebuild himself from the ground up, right? Mm-hmm. And trying to become a much better kind of person and things like that. That was sort of the expectation I had going in. And then the sort of signal came in. It's like, okay, this movie has started. By the way, it's a standard summer action movie.
For Thor?
No, for Iron Man 3.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thor was just a mess. Yeah. It was just a hot mess. Oh, yeah. But anyway, that's sort of how I went into it and came out of it.
But you used the term hot mess.
I did. It's been on my mind. Sorry. Because of the Jack in the Box commercial.
Oh. You know they use that in the movie.
Yes, they do, actually.
Twice.
Yes.
So that's why I figured you were like, oh, well, I'm adopting this one now.
Sorry, I was thinking about it because of the Jack in the Box commercial.
Okay, all right.
And because of Cards Against Humanity, which I played before going into the movie. But anyway, going back to that. So, Kevin, you wanted to talk about the sort of the bait and switch.
Yeah, I do want to talk about the fact that the Mandarin thing was like was basically an actor. That's one of the big spoilers from the movie is the fact that the Mandarin is just an actor that's, you know, created. It's not a big surprise to me when I'm watching this movie in the beginning. They're like, hey, there's all this setup about this, you know, botanist, and she's got this explosive plant that nobody seems to be concerned about. Mm. And there's this, you know, other smart guy that seems like Tony's a douche to. So, of course, they're the villains. This Mandarin thing is probably just a bunch of bullshit they created.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that was true.
It was entirely true. Yeah.
Well, I didn't actually see all that far. I knew that they were the villains and that they actually tried to show that the Mandarin was the boss.
Yeah, well, the big thing is when they're going out of their way to bring back the whole, like they did it in the first movie where they're taking motifs from those types of like hostage videos that the actual newsreels, and they're bringing that back and, you know, turning it up to 11. They even gave him the Osama bin Laden sunglasses and everything. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it was pretty clear from the start that this guy's either trying really hard to pretend to be Osama bin Laden. Mm-hmm. Or, well, I don't know.
And I think the problem with that was that the way the movie was structured was around the Tony Stark first-person narration. And so that, you know, that's how the story goes according to him. If they really wanted to do an actual bait and switch, then they would have started with the Mandarin, right? They would have actually started sort of the same way that Iron Man did with, you know, with them in, like, Pakistan or Afghanistan or, you know, something like that. And starting from there and establishing the Mandarin first.
Yeah, they don't they don't really make the connection between the Mandarin and anything resembling a threat other than, you know, other than the speeches and stuff. Mm. Like the first time the Mandarin actually does anything to a guy is halfway through the movie.
Yeah, and it turns out that it's Blanks. Yeah. Yay.
Well, that's the whole point.
Yeah, I know.
It is the bait and switch.
But look, the fact that you didn't actually build it up, so there's nowhere to fall.
So it's not even a bait.
Blanks?
Yeah, the guy, the accountant that was on the floor didn't actually get shot.
How did you find out that he did?
Because he said, oh, it's just Blanks.
It's all fake. Everything. Nobody. He doesn't kill anybody. He says that at the end. But yeah, it's supposed to fool everybody. And that's what I'm saying. It's like, if you go back and you establish...
They're not even trying to fool you, really, at that point.
They were not trying to fool you.
Which is something that I would wish that they had done, right?
What do you mean? They did fool both me and Kevin.
They weren't trying hard enough to fool the audience.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
They weren't setting up the Mandarin as a valid enough threat.
Well, they fooled
me. They're just trying to show him to look like Osama bin Laden.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's
usually enough, yes.
Yeah.
But they already did that in the first movie.
Yes. I actually don't really... So
and he also wasn't the villain of that movie.
What, the Ten Rings character?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's always the other smart guy that Tony's always working against, right? I mean, that's always the villain. That's always the true villain. Then they always have this
motif of the Iron
comic
Man
booky
theme.
Character that is the supposed villain. So it's like Talia and Bane.
Or it's like Mickey Rourke and Sam Rockwell.
Yeah, exactly.
Can you remind me who the supposed fake villain was in the first Iron Man?
Yeah, the bald...
It was supposed to be the bald guy who actually had him, taken captive.
The bald foreign guy who captured him and intended to use him to make weapons.
Yeah.
Or, sorry. And, basically he was hired to kill him. Tony Stark.
Yeah.
And then found out he's like, oh, look, free Tony Stark. I think I'll use him.
Yeah.
It's like,
but
you paid...
The guy who hired him to kill Tony Stark in the first place, Obadiah Stone.
Yeah, his
was the major villain.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. They didn't really. I don't think they even gave him a real proper name. There's just basically Ten Rings villain.
Yeah, basically. Like, you know, they were in the first one. They actually set it up really well because, the whole thing about it is that they were teasing at the Mandarin thing because there's like, oh, he's the leader of an organization called the Ten Rings, and comic book fans go, hey, you know, that kind of thing. It's like, oh, click. You're supposed to sort of put two and two together and get five.
Yeah, that's kind of the odd thing for me. Like, just from what I know, from what little I know of the Iron Man franchise, like in the beginning of it, it's like, oh man, they've totally this is a complete waste of Oscar award winning Ben Kingsley. And by the end of the movie, I was also saying, wow, this is a complete waste of the Mandarin, which is a really odd place to be.
Yeah, right.
Well, everybody's been waiting for them to use Mandarin. I mean, Mandarin is the main Iron Man villain. And when you think about it, this is probably the best in terms of not offending anybody and also using a character that is mystical in an environment that's not supposed to be.
Yeah.
In fact, one of the big things I thought was interesting was that they make the Chitauri thing from the Avengers, the whole alien invasion thing, something that seems so far off in terms of reality that it actually bothers Tony a lot.
Yeah.
Because also, as soon as that happens, right, as soon as the Avengers happens, the entire universe that's been created for Iron Man becomes...
Turned upside down.
Yeah, it does not become true. Mm-hmm. It's not real to our world until our Chitauri invade.
Ooh.
Booga, 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 booga.
Is this something you're not telling us about?
He loves you.
Where is this going?
Apparently,
I'm a Skrull.
Yeah. apparently, into the Skrull world.
He loves you.
I wish you were Elektra Skrull instead.
Oh, God.
Okay. So let's go into this. Iron Man 3, everybody's expectations were kind of hesitant because of Iron Man 2. I think all of us were on that page.
Yeah.
Or am I different about this?
No.
Am I off?
Nobody went in with
everybody here hates Iron Man 2.
I enjoyed the heartwarming story of Tony Disney Stark and his father Walt Disney, but other than that, yeah, it was kind of a mess.
What I felt like in this movie was there was not enough shield stuff to destroy the movie. Those were, you know, the parts I missed from Iron Man 2. the parts that ruined the movie from Iron Man 2, they weren't here, and it was really noticeable.
There wasn't as much like, hey guys, sequel. Hey guys, sequel. Yes.
Shield?
Sequel.
Shield?
Sequel. Yeah.
Shield?
Sequel.
Shield?
Sequel.
Shield? Hey, where was Shield in all of this? Because I would figure they would help Tony Stark out.
That's the thing, is that I don't think they want to use Agent Coulson again because they want people to think that he's still dead and stuff like that.
Let's talk about this world. Iron Man, a very prominent hero that we have established in this universe. Like, everybody knows who he is. It's Tony Stark and everything, right?
Yes.
So Tony Stark's home gets, like, invaded.
Yep.
Don't you think S.H.I.E.L.D. would know this is happening and be like, hey, Tony, something's coming.
Instead of two attack helicopters.
Maybe if this weird woman that showed up at your home didn't tell you to look at your TV screen, you wouldn't know that some missiles are coming.
Yeah, wouldn't Jarvis tell him? It's like, sir, missiles are approaching. I'm shooting them down now, you know.
With our defense, you know? Yeah, like, I don't understand, like, there's all this stuff that happens to Tony Stark, and nobody helps
him. And wouldn't S.H.I.E.L.D. protect him because they'd be watching him, like, fly out of the ocean going, you should probably follow that thing.
Why did nobody watch him fly out? Even Pepper is apparently too blind to see a giant guy, like, just
fly
flying
out
of the ocean.
Yeah. Yeah, the flying out of the ocean is a big...
Like, it happens directly behind the attack chopper. Yeah. Wouldn't they be watching the ocean to make sure he's dead?
Yeah. No. They're just like, oh, he's dead.
He's dead.
I don't see any bubbles.
We've got Extremis. We don't have to care.
Yeah. But the reason why S.H.I.E.L.D. wasn't put into it was because it would just change the focus of the whole movie. And it just, you know,
it would make it too easy, right?
Too easy, and it wouldn't be a movie about Iron Man anymore.
It wouldn't make it...
It'd be S.H.I.E.L.D. plus Iron Man. Yeah,
I think S.H.I.E.L.D. if they'd made it a very personal movie, if they'd made it, like, clear that Tony Stark was having a breakdown from just going too big, right? That if they'd actually had a couple of scenes that established, like, this is still too big, the help that you're giving me isn't working, that kind of thing. If they established that, because, you know, what they've done so well over all these movies is establish a continuity, and this one just sort of blows in your face going... There is a continuity, but we're kind of ignoring anything going forward. We're just going backward a little bit, going, yeah, the Avengers happened. And yeah.
Because I want to be clear about this. He goes to Tennessee,
mm-hmm.
and it's obvious, like, nobody's helping him. So
Except for a little boy.
Yeah.
We'll get into details about
little
boy
who still believes in Iron Man. Yeah.
So, you know, little boy, plays with Iron Man.
And then
nobody comes to help.
He fights against extremist soldiers using sharpened sticks and then log traps in the forest and throwing rocks at the armored extremist soldiers.
So he goes to Home Depot and invades a Miami stronghold that apparently has no cameras or anything, really. Just a bunch of guys in suits getting their ass beat.
And that's what disables the shield around the Roxxon thing. And that's what lets Iron Patriot fly in and attack the core. Sorry, what are we talking about?
Yeah.
Are we talking about Iron Man 3 or Star Wars 6? Hold on.
God. Thanks, Dom.
Sorry.
I'm lost. What?
Why are you even attaching numbers to Star Wars? Just say Return of the Jedi.
Sorry. I'm just saying, like... That entire sequence with him in Tennessee just reminds me of the Ewoks. Like,
because of kids?
Whoa.
Because there's a little boy?
Because there's a little boy, and he's like, the little boy is like blatantly just taking on these guys who are just, supposed to be a valid threat to everyone else. It's just like, this little boy totally beats him.
He didn't totally beat
them. He didn't. But still.
This little boy totally doesn't get mauled by them.
Yeah. There was not enough just Home Alone, like, from Skyfall in this movie.
I don't know. I think there was just enough Home Alone
There's
from Skyfall,
Skyfall
in this movie.
Skyfall Home Alone in this Iron Man movie. I had a problem with that. It disappointed me.
I don't know. I thought there wasn't too much and not too little.
Another complaint is Judi Dench is not in this movie. Why?
It's a problem, yeah.
Dame Judi Dench.
I mean, they got Ben Kingsley.
If it's Sir Ben Kingsley, it has to be Dame Judi Dench.
Okay.
All right? We got to get all these titles right.
Okay. Where's Sir Elton John, too?
They don't even make reference to Sir Elton John, do they?
I know.
Don't think
so. Why is Sir Elton John not in Iron Man?
Of course. They've already got the honorary aristocracy quotient.
Speaking of Elton John, I want to bring up Guy Pearce. because they're both blonde.
What?
Guy Pearce shows up two summers in a row as a villain that also at one point wears really weird looking makeup to uglify himself. So if he does it, he did it last year for Prometheus and he does it this year for Iron Man 3. So that means if he can do it one more year, he would have a hat trick of playing villains in summer movies that uglify themselves.
He can be the uglified villain trilogy.
Yes. Prometheus, Iron Man 3, and future movie. They can box that up. Guy Pearce's uglified summer villain trilogy.
You know, comes to the
mind. I really want that to happen so I can like do that. And I can just buy those three movies and just send them to people and be like, what is this? I'm like, there's a connection.
Find it.
You know, you think that kind of thing is Oscar bait for Guy Pearce, you know? Because when actresses, when they uglify themselves, that's Oscar bait.
I'm sure Guy Pearce decided to sign for Iron Man 3 in hopes of an Oscar.
Well, I mean, think about all of his Oscar-winning, co-stars. How can this not go well? Academy Award-winning actor Don Cheadle. Oh, Academy Award-winning actor Sir Ben Kingsley.
Wait, did Don Cheadle win an Academy Award?
Hotel Rwanda, wasn't it?
He didn't win.
Oh, I thought he won.
No.
Oh, he was just nominated too?
Anyone that wears a suit that's a man gets nominated but doesn't win.
Wow.
See.
I got to check that now.
Which means Guy Pearce will eventually get nominated and not win too, because he technically wears a suit
and he's
a man.
Maybe he just wants the honor of being nominated.
What about Jon Favreau, though? Because he's also in the movie, has a suit on, and is a man.
No, an Iron Man suit.
Oh, not a, oh, be an not Iron like Man a suit. Okay.
And in the same way that the actor that portrays the president in this movie will get nominated but never win.
Who was it? Because I know Miguel Ferrer was the vice president. And Miguel Ferrer, I'm like, man, he's wasted in this movie.
I was surprised. I was like, why does he even need to be in this movie? Speaking of which, Dr. Wu, this whole China thing. Yeah, who cares?
Yeah, I'm confused.
He shows up in the beginning, he's like, hi, I'm Dr. Wu. And at the end, he's like, hi, I saved you from this thing that you could have done your whole life.
I thought the whole surgery part and the fact that you could do it then was tied between the whole regenerative new science that they had.
Well, that's how it actually...
And that's why he doesn't die from it, because the only reason why he had it in there was because if they did an operation... It would do so much damage, he would just die.
Yeah, but now they can just do the operation and he doesn't die?
Yeah, that's the thing, is that they don't explain it well enough.
Yeah, they don't explain... Yeah. Well, they show that they use
magnets.
They go have an extension off
How the F do they work?
Well, they're doing it off as an extension off of describing how he saves Pepper.
Yes.
And, you know, harnesses the technology.
Wait, how does he save Pepper? They never
explain that either.
He saves Pepper because he's Tony Stark.
He did it 20 years ago when he's drunk.
Yeah,
Extremis.
I don't know. I don't read comic books.
What? She's got Extremis in her. There's no way. How does he save her from that?
He fixes the
science.
The science.
But they never show it. That's the thing. They just sort of say that it happened.
Because it's not that important.
At the end, he just says, I fixed it.
Yeah, he just says,
really?
I fixed it.
At the end, he just says, I fixed it.
Yeah.
That's basically how they deal with that plot thread.
That wasn't conveyed very well to me.
No,
it really wasn't.
Well, that's why they took him as hostage, because they knew that he had the ability to fix this, because
that he had an understanding about it.
Oh, that's right. That's why he kills the botanist and he's like, I don't need you anymore. I got Tony Stark.
Yes.
Yeah.
Tied to a bed.
Yes.
Which is, of course, the best strategy of keeping him, tied down. Two guys and a bed. That's what you need.
Don't forget two wisecracking guys.
Yes. Those guys were good, though.
Yeah, that was fun.
Oh, I did love the guy where he was like,
I don't even like working
here. Honestly, I hate working here. Everyone is so weird.
But taking that out of that situation, like, that was one of my problems with the movie, was that there were sort of designated wisecracking points.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, instead of having a single mood, where it's like, this is the part, the single mood, or at least two moods, right? Mm-hmm. Iron Man 1 was made of two moods. There was the Tony Stark being snarky mood, and there was the Tony Stark being repentant mood, and those things went together really well.
Tell me about the scenes where he's Starky.
The band is on the field! That kind of Starky? No, sorry. But, those were the two moods, and they got together really well, because he was, like, snarky and repentant at the same time and at a certain point. Mm. Like, they brought that together.
But he can't repent anymore because he's already repented.
Yeah, and so that's the thing, is that like there's the snarky Tony Stark, there's the broken Tony Stark, there's kind of a... Like, they try to make him repentant a little bit, because it's like, these are making my demons, that kind of thing. But you just never get that. And so there's just sort of wisecracks for the sake of wisecracks. There's like action scenes for the sake of action scenes. And it just feels strung together, like... sort of having a checklist of what you need in a movie.
I felt the airplane sequence was really dull.
Yeah, the barrel of monkeys.
Yeah, because the actual, the TV spot from the Super Bowl, he was like, how many can I save? Only four. And I was like, oh, damn, someone's going to die. And nobody died. And I was disappointed by that. That's why they should have been rated R.
Yeah, they should have had people die.
Yes. More people. I mean, they have plenty of people die. So why not just have more people die?
That's another problem I had, is that he actually talks about killing people and he kills people, which hasn't happened in previous movies. Well, actually, it's implied that he's killed some people, like, you know, blowing up a tank, blah, blah, blah. But, like...
What about those six guys he shot?
In which? In the first movie?
Yeah.
He shot six guys?
Where he lands, identifies six terrorists.
Oh, yeah. The thing is that, like... it's entirely possible that he's just tranquilizing people. Like, he spends so long in the first movie saying, it's not a weapon, it's not a weapon, it's not a weapon, it's not a weapon, right?
What does he do in the second movie?
He fights against drones. He basically, like, G.I. Joes it.
Yeah.
Hey, so, you know, the promotional material for Iron Man 3 made it seem like they were going to use his suits against him.
Yeah.
And that never happened, so I was disappointed.
Yeah.
And instead, he used the suits against them. And that happened, and he jumps between the suits. And,
it was supposed to...
There was not enough Hulk busting. See,
this is why I don't watch a promotional material.
No. I mean, it's on the poster. I'm like, I can't avoid the poster. The poster's right there.
You'd be surprised what you can avoid if you're not paying attention.
If I was blind, I would be really good at avoiding movies.
Danny, tell us a story about how you met Miho again. And by that, I mean how Miho, like, basically bashed you over the face with her phone number until, like, 6 days later. You're like, huh?
Oh, good, you've heard that one.
She put her phone number on a poster, eh?
And he missed it.
That was the first mistake.
No, but anyway, sorry. But, yeah, there were just, I don't know. It was entertaining to watch. We're going to get that out of the way. There were, individually, a lot of the scenes were entertaining.
Yeah.
As a whole movie, it was like...
I'd say there was too much going on.
Yeah.
Just too much of, like, random storylines and... And the one that really got me was this kind of push to let everybody know it's Christmas.
No, I wanted them. I love the Christmas thing.
Oh, really?
But no, that's what a Shane Black. Everything that he does is it's always taking place during Christmas. That's his signature.
You can do it in Christmas, but you don't need them shouting in my ears like Christmas. It's Christmas.
No, it's Christmas. No. One of my complaints is there's not enough Christmas.
You know what? I needed more Merry Christmas, you filthy animal.
Yeah. That would have fit. It would have fit in Miami. It would have been fine.
Home Alone.
Yes, no more Christmas.
But yeah, actually,
Christmas.
I think that's a good way of putting it. It basically was an interesting series of YouTube clips.
Yeah, it really was. It was a bunch of scenes that would be interesting on their own in like just maybe 5 to 10 minute chunks in YouTube.
Okay, and... so let me get this straight. So you did enjoy it. Mm-hmm. You would not say it's better than Iron Man 1.
No, I would not say at all it's better than Iron Man 1.
I'd say almost say it's around equal.
I would say it's almost around equal, because Iron Man 1 has a lot of leeway in the fact that it's an origin movie, and so it's easier, right?
That's true.
Yeah.
And the way they told that origin was much better than the actual origin of Iron Man. So so they get some, you know, that's actually a character that translates very well for an origin type of story.
That's
true. You come on. I know it's because the Mark 42 armor is so ugly that you don't like this one as much as Iron Man 1. Because the Mark 3 armor is the best armor. There is no armor better than Mark 3 armor.
Mark 3 was Iron Man 2, wasn't it?
No. Mark 6 was Iron Man 2.
No, Mark 6 was Avengers.
No. Mark
7 was Avengers.
Oh, Mark 7 was Avengers.
I thought Mark 6 was the bracelets.
Mark 4 and 6 are in Iron Man 2.
Okay.
Mark 5 is the suitcase.
Right, okay.
Marks 1, 2, 3 are the very clear, obvious ones from the first movie.
Oh, okay.
And Mark 42 is the ugly-looking one that looks like piss. The piss-colored one.
Yeah.
I think the main problem is he'd already established the color of the solid gold sex machine, so it's just difficult to have the...
Just make it look like Mark 3 again. Mark 3 is the best armor.
Mark 3 is a really good one. It's true. That was pretty sexy-looking. Maybe they should have just put him in Hulkbuster the whole time.
When the Hulkbuster did show up at the end, I was like, wow, that's not big enough.
Well, he did bust Hulk in the end, at the very, very end.
Yeah.
Put him to sleep. And then he sent him into space.
To go meet Rocket Raccoon, right?
To go get married.
I was disappointed that they didn't have the rescue suit for
Pepper. I really wanted the rescue suit.
He does put her in the Mark 42 suit, which I understand because they need to establish that for how they
deal with the end.
Yeah. But still, I'm like, he could have just had the rescue suit available.
I really, really liked the Five Nightmares storyline. I think Five Nightmares is what introduced rescue, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, so I really liked the Five Nightmares
story. I may have to read that at some point.
I actually have it at my house, so I can let you borrow it. Oh. Kevin probably has it here somewhere, too.
I have it.
Because it's a great pack, right?
It's comics. Hold on. It's...
Damn, I moved things around.
Wait, that's the Iron Man over there. Iron Man's down there. I'm down to the left. Down to the left, Kevin.
Not the Sandman, not the Spider-Man, not the
to the left of Captain America, left of Captain America, not left of Spider-Man.
Not the Batman. Not the Usagi's Yojimbo.
I feel like I'm part of Surgeon Simulator.
not the hammer.
Not the new Teen Titans.
Stop chopping his brain.
No. All right. Now control your pinky.
It's the bottom left.
Bottom left? Bottom. Very bottom. On the left. On the left. No, your other left. No. No.
Incredible. Invincible Iron Man.
Was it Fraction?
Oh, you're right. God. That is it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Dom's got the eagle eye and he has it in his hand now. So for your viewing pleasure... Oh,
it's the Invincible Iron Man by Matt Fraction.
Yeah, the Invincible Iron Man by Matt Fraction and Ugly LaRocca.
Ugly LaRocca?
Sometimes he's ugly.
That's true, actually. Sometimes he goes
the covers are really nice.
Yeah. But anyway, Danny, that's required reading for you, I think.
It's not.
That's true.
Out of all the Iron Man stories, it's one of the better ones, for
that's
sure.
That's true.
Okay.
It is even more worth reading than
Demon in a Bottle.
Yeah, that right. That does not
Demon
age
in a Bottle
well.
Was groundbreaking, but it wasn't necessarily like
Demon in a Bottle is really one issue.
Yeah.
And they sell it to you as 10.
But anyway, going back to this movie.
More testicles means more iron.
one thing that
I saved
you brought up before about the whole like the level of intent to kill, and someone else had brought this up to me, and just how, you know, he says to the Mandarin, "I'm going to find you, and I'm going to kill you."
Well, I'm going to bring back your body. Yeah, basically.
You're already dead. I'm going to bring back your dead body.
You'll have 5 seconds to regret your sins before your spine breaks itself.
Yeah, something like that.
And I hope there's like, enough space in your stomach for my fist. Or no.
Yeah, but people
ram it in your stomach. I don't know.
People forget that after that, what he does is just, you know, goof off at his place, and he expects the Mandarin to come in, which he does.
He does, and then he's not ready for it.
Yeah, and but that's, even though how brutal that declaration was, he doesn't actually follow through with any kind of action on that part.
But then it's like, you're the one I'm going to kill first. He proceeds to, you know, actually shoot him.
Which one? When was this?
When he's tied to the bed. He's like, you're the one I'm going to kill first. When they have that random like comedy of him striking poses while tied to a bed frame.
Yes. They go for him brutal, and he's like, I'm going to kill you first. And then, and then nothing happens.
Yeah, that
and
had...
Then, and nothing happens.
That had a bit of the Family Guy feel to it. That probably was two takes too long.
Yeah. The comedy of that was a little bit too many. And you don't know if he was actually...
being serious about killing someone?
Yeah.
Maybe.
I mean, he also shot him with the blaster, right?
He shot him with the repulsor.
Shot him with the repulsor. But it establishes at the end he actually kills someone with the repulsor, too, in the plane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But those guys don't count.
Yeah, because they're bad guys.
Well, yeah, that guy was super regenerative. Yeah,
if you have extremists, it's okay to murder you.
Yeah, because you're a monster at that point. I mean, you know, you're not human anymore. You're just monster.
Yeah, because once you're an amputee, you're not human anymore, right?
No!
Once you attempt to lizard your hand back on.
Yeah.
Only if you try to help yourself... Then you're a monster.
Okay, I get it.
Once you use healing to become so hot that you can burn through like anything, then
Wolverine.
You become a monster.
It's like Wolverine.
Not even.
Does it hurt?
It's like Wolverine. Time. There was not enough Wolverine in this Iron Man movie.
Thank God for that.
Okay, so main complaints about Iron Man 3.
Disjointed.
No Dame Judi Dench.
The Christmas part.
No Wolverine.
You say that about everything.
Not enough Home Alone.
Not enough Home Alone. Not enough Christmas.
Not enough Lethal Weapon either. Either too much Lethal Weapon or not enough Lethal Weapon. There's no like half Lethal Weapon.
I think the actual enemies with what's it called?
Extremis.
Were a little bit too strong. It just seemed like they were fantastically strong from what they were getting. The way that they were just cutting through all of those... all the Iron Men for some reason, and just how hot the main enemy was getting, just It's like, all right.
Well, yeah, I mean, he
karate chop and cut.
Did you see him with his shirt off? Come on, man. I mean, sorry, what?
He's a dragon warrior.
Right. He had the two dragon tattoos on his chest, and they're like all burning, and then he karate chops at one of the Iron Man suits
in half.
I'm like, what? How is he that? He's like,
and then they just sort of kill him with a sniper bullet.
It's like it's
that Pepper somehow knows is there.
Yeah. That was...
I didn't actually understand that. How did she know how to kill him? How did she kill him?
She didn't kill him, as far as I could tell. I was kept waiting for him to come back out at the end.
She took like
because they established that Pepper survived a big old fire explosion like that. So why couldn't he?
Yeah, it doesn't really make
too many
sense.
Tattoos.
Like, he just ran off. He's just like, oh,
like
buddy,
honestly,
you
they
guys win.
They killed him. This is my take on it. They killed him like 6 times, and the 4th one was probably the one that was best.
The
sticking him in the suit.
Oh yeah, sticking him in the suit and exploding the suit.
Yeah, that should have killed him.
Yeah.
Like that should have been the last one.
Yeah,
but they had to keep going.
Yeah,
and I mean,
because they want Pepper to have more to do.
You think about it this way.
Yes, but she could have done that and then killed him with the suit.
You think about it this way too, where it's like. You know, Iron Man in the movies is best friends with Bruce Banner. You would think he knows something about going up against someone who's unstoppable. It's like, you know, I don't think he's dead. How do you know that? Because, you know, he's an unstoppable heat rage monster.
Yeah. I was expecting an Iron Man suit to come out as just like, it's resistant to heat. And he goes, that almost seems pretty, like, logical for
that
me.
That seems,
like,
yeah. Cause
the Heatbuster armor?
There's got to be a fire armor, an ice armor, a woods armor, water armor.
He has, like,
he's got metal covered.
The scissors armor.
Yeah. Scissors and guts, yes.
Yes. Guts armor.
Well, I guess that was the Hulkbuster.
Guts armor would be the Hulkbuster.
And a dog with a spring.
Got a rush.
Yeah, actually, you're right about that. How come he has no super heat-resistant armor? Would think that's the one he would want to wear the most against people that produce super heat.
Yeah, or just, you know, weapons that that use heat, you know. Maybe
because eventually he's going to fight Captain Cold.
No, that's the Flash, sir.
Eventually he's going to fight Mr. Freeze.
That's Batman, sir.
Who's cold in the Marvel Universe?
Iceman!
That's a bad guy.
Depending on who you're talking to, Iceman.
That's not Iceman.
Emma Frost?
That's Diamond.
But her name is Frost.
Oh my god.
She's cold as ice.
I think we've established
what?
That.
No, what?
Is she willing to sacrifice your love?
Yes. Haven't you seen what happened with Cyclops?
God, not enough Christmas in this discussion.
I guess Christmas comes twice this year.
Clearly...
Oh my god. We are going there.
Clearly what Marvel needs is a Christmas-themed
clearly
ice
what
villain.
Marvel needs is the worst Pierce Brosnan Bond movie.
Oh. Nuclears. Oh.
That one had enough Dame Judi Dench, though.
All right. Anyway, where were we again?
You know what? When you think about it, Iron Man is very much like the James Bond series.
Yeah.
Everything we've been talking about has to do more with James Bond than Iron Man.
Which I think is kind of to its detriment. Because the wisecracking one-liners for action stuff, like, that isn't really the character of Iron Man. That's more Spider-Man stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, we expect him to be sarcastic and...
When he's Tony Stark.
When he's Tony Stark,
Iron Man.
When he's Iron Man, like, the whole thing that they've established over the first few movies, once he's Iron Man, he, like, totally switches gears into actually being a better person, because that's what Iron Man represents to him, right? It represents him, like, fixing all of his Tony Stark mistakes. And in this one, like, I don't know.
Well, to be fair, a lot of snarky stuff with Tony Stark acting as Iron Man is actually, he's not in the suit, he's just... Tony Stark.
That's true. He didn't want to be... He's not in the suit for most of this movie.
Yeah.
And half of the time, it's a bait and switch that he's, like, just... in
controlling
his little,
the suit.
Yeah, he's just controlling the suit.
Yeah.
But, you know, it goes to that whole mood whiplash thing, right? Where we don't know what mood to be in for a lot of this movie.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant moody whiplash.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
From 2.
From 2.
That took a couple seconds to register, sorry.
Man, we're all over the place in this conversation.
Wait, hold on.
Like Iron Man 3.
Let's compare Iron Man 3 to the other Marvel Initiative movies. Okay, so we've all established, at least for me and John, we think it's equivalent to 1, or you guys also say it's not as good as 1, but it's better than 2.
Yeah.
But how do you place Iron Man 3 against Captain America?
I think Captain America is at least cohesive. It's not necessarily a great movie, yeah. But it's a World War II, you know, homage.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it being like cheesy and like very jingoistic and stuff like that. You know, what
it was period specific cheese.
Period specific cheese. And so Captain America is probably my next most favorite one out of the non-Avengers stuff. So it goes Iron Man and then Captain America. I think Thor is a steaming pile. I think Hulk is a steaming pile.
I haven't seen either Hulk.
We can only you can only consider Incredible Hulk, not Hulk.
Sorry, okay. I think Incredible Hulk is not very good. And then that's all of them, isn't it? Yeah, so I think Iron Man 3 fits in.
Is that a all little... of them?
Because Hulk...
Yeah, it goes Iron... It goes...
Oh, that's right, that's right.
Yeah, it goes Iron Man...
Iron Man, Incredible Hulk.
Iron Man 2, Thor, Hulk, Captain America, Avengers, and then this one. And so I'd say it's probably in third place.
I would put it Iron Man, Iron Man 3,
Captain America? America,
Avengers, Incredible Hulk, Thor, Iron Man 2. I almost forgot to include that one.
That's pretty much my line of thinking, too. It's I just think back of which of these movies would I like to go see again.
And, Iron Man 1 for me.
Yeah. Iron Man 1 and like, Iron Man 3. And that's where true. It cuts off.
I would see Iron Man 3 again.
Yeah. Would you see Thor 2?
No.
It's in Asgard.
And it has Natalie Portman back. And he teams up with Loki, is what he did in the first one in the first place.
It's in Asgard.
Asgard. No. Asgard. I really don't want to see it.
It might surprise you.
It's in Asgard.
Oh, that's right. I have to be John about these movies and just have zero expectations going in.
Oh, yeah. It's gonna be going. It's gonna be total crap, and when it's like half decent, you're like, "Yay, I had a good time." It's worth the $8.
So no love for Thor 2, but what about for Captain America: The Winter Soldier?
I actually have expectations of that one. And that makes me frightened that I have expectations because I like Brubaker.
Yeah, but I mean, they didn't establish Bucky very well in the first movie, or the fact that he gets lost. So I just feel like I know how the movie's going to open. It's going to open with them on their mission where Bucky gets lost.
And then get him getting picked up by the Russians.
Yes, and then they're going to be like, oh, you know that scene? Well, it was Bucky. That was the Winter Soldier. Yeah, we didn't make that a surprise at all.
When was this? What?
Oh, so, you don't know about the storyline, huh? No. We just spoiled something pretty big.
We just spoiled... Well, how old is that storyline in comics? Yeah. It's like 8 years now?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I was in college when it was coming out.
Yeah, so like 8 or 9 years. Yeah.
I don't mind spoilers. Yeah.
So this is the thing. It used to be a saying that the only people in comic books who will never come back to life are Ben Parker, and Martha Wayne, and Bucky.
Gwen Stacy and Bucky.
Yeah. Those were like the five unresurrectables, because if you resurrect them, then their title becomes meaningless.
Mm-hmm.
And then Bucky came back as the Winter Soldier. Like the thing is that in the original stuff, Bucky, I think he falls off the wing of a plane, was it? Or was that Captain America?
No, they are on a rocket.
They're on a rocket, that's right. They're
and
on a rocket.
Bucky falls and dies.
Yeah. And like decades, like half a century later, because, you know, Captain America is a World War II comic.
Yeah.
He is?
Surprise! But, you know, half a century later, basically, like maybe a little more, Ed Brubaker says, what if Bucky didn't actually die, but he had the same kind of deal as Captain America? And so what he did was he had him picked up by the Russians, and like he has him become sort of part of the arms race, because the Russians don't have any superhumans. And so, like, in terms of Marvel history...
Except for Whiplash.
But that's later, right? Like, in terms of World War II, when, like, Namor, the original Human Torch, the Defenders, right?
Yeah.
They're on America's side, and they're like, oh, because we have so many superhumans, we're not taking nearly as many losses, because they're so superhuman. And Russia's like, millions are dead. All we have to defend us is winter. And that's where he gets the name Winter Soldier from. Mm. Because, like, all, you know, it's actually a pretty strong... It's a pretty strong scene where there's this general talking about how, like, entire cities and villages have died. And it's like, if we had a Captain America, then we could have done something about it. But all we have is winter. Mm-hmm. And so they actually make Bucky into the Winter Soldier, sort of out of bitterness. And they brainwash him in order to make him, like, loyal to the communist state and they use him as an assassin, and in between missions they freeze him so that he doesn't like experience the outside world and turn rogue. And they establish that he's been doing this on and off for like 60 years. And then, you know, Captain America finds out, and that's the basis of the story.
And that's what this movie is supposed to be about, but the fact is they haven't killed Bucky in the Marvel Universe yet, so it's not going to be a surprise that when the opening scene is about them killing Bucky, it's not going to be a surprise when you're like, oh, this Winter Soldier is Bucky.
Yeah.
Because in the comics, you like, had a suspicion.
60 years.
You had a suspicion, but you didn't know for real whether this was actually Bucky or not.
Yeah, like Captain America spends like, what, a year and a half of comic books, basically, trying to chase down goings like, are they just threatening me with Bucky, or is this actually Bucky?
And then it's actually Bucky. And then Captain America dies by time bullets, and Bucky takes over as Captain America, and then Bucky dies.
And then Captain America undies.
In Asgard.
Comic books, people.
And I think they're all alive again.
Time bullets.
God. That's actually time bullets.
Time bullets. When you get shot with them, you die, and you get sent back in time, but so you're not really dead.
And then you're you're cave Batman.
Wait, they're bullets with tiny little weeping angels in them?
Yes.
Looper.
Looper.
Primer?
Whatever. Comic
time
book.
Crimes. Back to the
Wizard
future.
Did it. But anyway, the point is
the
that
Jetsons.
It's actually... The point is that the storyline was actually really well received because it was like it was one of the only ways that a character has been revived from out of comic book canon. People went, that's really cool.
Wait, you didn't think when they brought back Uncle Ben, that wasn't that good?
Oh, God.
I hate you.
Remember when they brought back Gwen Stacy?
As Venom? That's an ultimate.
What?
Carnage.
Carnage, that's right. She's Carnage.
That's an ultimate.
That's an ultimate.
So it's okay. Yeah. Not really.
She's a clone.
How about Superman?
No, Superman's still dead. Yep. Ever since they killed him in the 90s.
I thought they killed him when
they... really regret that.
I thought they killed him when Brandon Routh played him. They just sort of economically killed him. I get it.
This could go into some very inappropriate jokes.
All right, anyway.
Christopher Reeve. Let's not go anywhere. Hey, that's why I said we stop.
Hey, okay. What was this podcast about again?
Not enough Home Alone podcast.
Yeah.
Too much Christmas.
So
not enough Christmas.
So because we were talking about Iron Man 3, we also decided to watch videos of Surgeon Simulator 2013. Now, this is an awesome game.
Awesome to watch. I don't know. I'm not playing
no,
that game.
Trust me, you will love playing it. If you played it with me, oh man, it's gonna be horrible.
If you want, we can do an S-Words stream of Surgeon Simulator.
If we did a Surgeon Simulator stream with me and John playing, it would be the same thing basically, but people that you know.
Oh god, why?
just drop it in his face. You let go of the laser.
Stop slapping his brain.
I just want to make a smile with the scalpel.
But anyway.
Turn him to Joker. That doesn't work.
So while we're not on the subject,
just like to mention 2013.
I'd just like to mention everyone play Monaco. Just want to say
Monaco?
That.
What's Monaco?
It's a heist game.
Is it Geneva?
No.
Is it Tunisia?
No.
Is it Casablanca?
Yeah, sure.
Actually, it's kind of close, but yeah, it's a...
what are we talking about?
You sneak in, collect dots, leave.
Oh!
It's the heist
Pac-Man.
Game.
Pac-Man!
Yes, it is heist
stealth
Pac-Man.
It's co-op stealth Pac-Man.
Wait, are you serious?
Yes.
Basically.
There is a four-player co-op...
Wait, we could be playing this?
We could be playing this.
What is this?
It's called Monaco.
Is it Pac-Man?
Yes.
Actually, yes. You think I'm kidding, but it actually
hold
really
on.
Is close to Pac-Man. Pac-Man.
Are we done with the podcast yet, guys?
Why?
Probably. Why do you ask? Mike wants to know if we're hanging out afterward.
Not here.
Not at Kevin's place. We might be hanging out afterward in general, though, Mike.
Yeah, I'm going to David Sedaris.
Will do. David Sedaris? Nice.
Yeah, he's speaking at the Opera House.
Cool.
Sedaris.
So anyway, Kevin, remember to cut everything from our awkward silence to this point.
So yeah, Pac-Man.
Yeah, it's co-op stealth Pac-Man, and you can be different superpowers of Pac-Man. Like one of them can detect ghosts, one of them can detect dots. One of them has sort of like a Pac-Man Jr. that collects dots for you,
isn't at risk. And one of them can sneak up on guards. I mean guards, and knock
them
out.
Them. But anyway, it's actually really fun and like.
What's it on?
Either Xbox Live
Steam,
or Steam.
They're about
Which one
to
are you guys
Xbox
doing
Live
it on?
Release.
Steam.
How much does it cost?
$15. Yeah, I know, right? It might be on sale soon.
$15 for Pac-Man?
It's actually really well done, though.
$15 for Pac-Man?
Don't make me buy the game and throw it at you.
I wanted a peanut.
Anyway.
What's this podcast about again?
Computers. Iron Man. Surgery.
Surgery starts with an S. So does simulators. So does 2013s.
Wow. All
right, so let's wrap this one up.
Well, we never even talked about Iron Man or Tony Stark, really.
Yes, we did. We talked a lot about it.
Tony Stark, what does he mean to you? Top 5 Iron Man movies.
Well, we've already gone through our top. We've all gone through basically our top 7 of the Marvel movies.
Yeah. Which is weird because, actually, no, when I talk about top 5 Iron Man movies, I was like, I can't even think of top 5 Iron Man storylines in terms of comics.
Like, basically, like top 2.
I don't really read Iron Man. Iron Man's boring.
It's indicated by the fact that it took him, like, what, a minute to find Iron Man in his shelf?
I did read that.
Yeah, Iron it is out Man. Of the plastic, actually, okay. Which is a step above a lot of the other ones.
Having been read.
True.
Unlike those Fantastic Four hardbounds over there, those are still in their plastic.
Yep, and they haven't been read. Yeah. Hey, some of the stuff in the plastic has been read, just outside of the plastic.
Like The Absolute Death? Or did you not read that?
I've not read Death.
Death is all right. Anyway, sorry.
Say that again.
Death is all right.
I don't know, that's the thing. It's like, Tony Stark is probably one of my favorite Marvel characters.
Wait, hold on, I do want to ask about this. So they took out Tony Stark's heart, and they put it in a case. So what now? Like, there's not going to be any more Iron Man movies,
right?
Well, no,
he threw his heart off of a cliff.
Yeah.
Usually,
just push the heart off to the side and put another one in.
If anything, that means that the heart's going to come back as the Winter Heart.
Ooh.
That is good.
the Christmas Iron Man. That's the next one. Iron Man 4.
How come there is no Iron Man during Christmas? Released during Christmas. They're always released in the summer. Why not release one?
Because that's
Christmas?
Thor time. And let's see, wait. So Captain America's the next summer tentpole, and I think Guardians of the Galaxy is going to be the winter one, right?
Oh, we haven't even talked about Guardians of the Galaxy. That's going to be awful.
Yeah, it is. Like, let's try and take characters that no one's ever even heard of.
I've heard of them.
That's because you play Marvel vs. Capcom 3, well, and they were specifically seeded into MVC 3 for that
Guardians
reason.
Mission complete!
Guardians of the Galaxy is Parks and Recreation meets wrestling meets Avatar.
I'd watch that.
Meets Howard the Duck. Don't forget Howard the Duck.
Damn it, never mind.
Because Howard the Duck, not the movie.
I was about to say, I loved his cameo in Wolverine and the X-Men. Did you see that with the dupe issue?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's so good.
What?
I loved Howard the Duck's cameo in X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Okay.
Why does the Howard the Duck look so lonely?
Did you just call me Blob? No, I said Bub very, very clearly.
Is that an actual line in that movie?
Oh my God, yes.
Oh God. I've never seen it. That's the thing.
He fights the guy that's the Blob, and he calls him Bub because that's what Wolverine says. And he actually just turns around and goes, "Did you just call me Blob?" And I'm like, really? This is where we're going with this?
This is why they fight?
Like, already this movie was awful. You just had to keep making it awful.
I think they're going for the, you know, just trying to circle back around to the worth watching because it's that bad. But it never reaches.
X-Men Origins Wolverine. I mean,
The Wolverine.
The Wolverine is coming out.
Yeah, because if they don't make it, the rights will start reverting.
Oh, that's true.
Although, I do appreciate the fact that the rights over Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver basically come down to, I liked it, they're mine. Did you read about that? Because Joss Whedon was teasing that Avengers 2.
Yeah, I know he's been teasing about that, but I mean, do they count as X-Men or Avengers?
They started out as X-Men characters, and they're now Avengers characters.
Why?
Because they're Avengers.
But Fox owns X. They were X-Men characters. Does Fox not even care that Marvel has Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch?
That's the thing.
I can just imagine an executive in a suit is like, oh, we're losing these Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch.
It's one of those things where it's nebulous enough and they never really defined it enough.
Nobody cares.
That's like you can basically whoever puts them in a movie first gets dibs.
Quicksilver is a terrible idea.
Scarlet Witch is also kind of a terrible idea.
Avengers 2 is a terrible idea.
Maybe they'll put her in the end of the movie and she'll be like, no more movies.
Oh, I would be so happy. I would be the gun that's like, woo, at the end.
I personally saw it as like a sort of custody battle where the X-Men are going to take one child and the Avengers are going to take the other.
And no one will care.
I'm fine with that. They can have Scarlet Witch. Between Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver, yeah.
You didn't like Scarlet Witch in the Iron Man cartoon? Sorry.
I missed something there.
She was in the cartoon along with War Machine and it wasn't Vision, was it?
I'm really starting to think I didn't miss anything after all.
Strangely, this has been the most relevant thing to Tony Stark that has been said in the last like 10 minutes.
So there's not going to be any more Iron Man movies, right? I mean, no, Robert Downey Jr. doesn't even want to do anymore.
Yeah, they don't need to be anymore.
At the very end of it, there was something at the end of the movie that said Tony Stark will return.
But it just says Tony Stark will return.
Really?
Yeah.
Right now,
it actually says that?
Yeah, in the credits. It says that in the credits.
At the very end, after the little additional scene where he's
talking to the Hulk.
And so, yes, it's even more like a James Bond movie.
That's Mark Ruffalo.
Oh, okay.
There's a scene where he's eating shawarma. That's the funniest part of the movie. I like to mention it to everybody.
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, Chris.
Dude! I wasn't doing that for Chris. Oh, my God.
You know who I heard that from? Chris. So, yeah. Thanks, Chris.
No problem.
What does this mean, Chris?
It's been so long.
So, anyway... let's probably just wrap this one up then.
All right.
So because of this movie, do you think that you would watch an Iron Man 4 with Robert Downey Jr.?
I don't think I need to.
You don't think you need to?
Yeah.
Okay. You think it's closed?
Well, that's the thing.
It's a closed circle.
If anything, the third movie has established that the most dangerous weapon in the Iron Man world is the mind of Tony Stark.
Yep.
So I'm okay with that.
The other question is if he does have that because his heart was cured of whatever. Mm-hmm. It went through that surgery, so now he's got that super healing ability now. So does his Pepper.
Wait, he has it too.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. It's gonna be hard to justify any further threats specific to Iron Man in this like storyline arc now that he has access to technology that will heal anything.
Yeah. Because Pepper has it, and once he cured her and stabilized her, he gave it to himself, went through the surgery. That's why he's fine.
That's why he could do the surgery? Yeah. He gave it to himself?
Well, yes.
How he didn't
they,
necessarily...
They really do not establish...
They really don't establish
can just,
that.
Can he just say, and then I gave Extremis to myself?
Or, you know, they could have had him, like, glow orange a little bit,
well,
right?
The
like, that's they'd spent so long training, like, slight orange glow equals Extremis.
But that's uncontrollable Extremis. Now it's controlled Extremis, so you don't get hot.
Well, that's part of the thing. If they ever want to make anything else in the Marvel universe, that
everybody
involves Iron Man at all, they have
John's
to not.
Quotes.
They have to not establish this the extremist technology at all. Because if they establish any of that, then people are just going to ask, "Why are you letting him die? You can just heal him."
Yeah. Oh, so they just need the Muramasa blade of extremists,
like Thanatos, the Infinity Gauntlet.
Yeah.
Like I said, the power in this movie for the villains was too strong.
Yeah.
They should not be able
to... It's really difficult to make everybody Wolverine and then go back.
Yeah.
Actually, when you think about it, this is very extreme for an Iron Man movie in terms of the powers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is actually like...
It wasn't just like... It wasn't an allegory...
suits.
It wasn't an allegory for the arms race.
No.
This was... A very small portion of it was, but the threat of the main villain... Not nearly as much.
So they just figure because of Chitauri, then everything's okay. Everything's fair game.
I guess when Thanatos comes by with the Infinity Gauntlet.
Why do you
just
keep saying Thanatos?
Thanos.
Right. Sorry. That's what his name's based on. Sorry. Thanos. Yeah.
Okay. I don't know what the literary reference is, but I know his
Thanatos
name is
the
Thanos,
urge.
And he's purple.
Thanatos means the urge toward death. But anyway.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, these are all people, just regular people who got a shot, and now they're able to just go through
Iron Man suits.
Why are
there so many of them? If there are so many that don't work, then how come they have, like, 50 guys in the end? So how many people exploded? because they only showed like 12 explosions.
Well, I know they like
had
that,
the,
yeah.
They had the controlled explosions. And how many like disabled soldiers were they able to just like find for some reason?
A lot. If you go by the movie and the number of people that were being shot at, it's like at least 50.
Yeah.
And that's why I was just like, good
well,
God.
Maybe they're just trying to be really subtle about it. Maybe like they just used the same
Vice
six guys.
Daughter is going to become one of
and
these
they just
two.
Healed and got back up and moved on.
Well, yeah. I mean, when you see them, an Iron Man pick one up and throw him away, it's like, well, that guy's not dead. He's going to get right back up and just.
Yeah. So maybe he just runs back onto the scene.
Maybe.
They're just extras. They're just recycling. It's fine.
Moogballing. It's like Drunken Master 2.
But no. Well, there is a scene when Tony Stark goes up and he looks around, he's just like, oh, I'll see all the enemies. And you see
yeah, that's
people.
True.
So you do know there's around like 20 or 30 or something like that with the...
It's more than 12, which is just weird.
Here's a question. So he's able to get Jarvis back normally, right? Eventually, when he's in Tennessee.
Yeah.
So why doesn't he just have one of his suits get sent over to him instead of trying to fix the one he currently has?
Plot hole.
Because he's got to grow.
Because it was covered in rocks. Because it was covered in rocks.
Rocks. In a cave?
In a cave.
With a box of
suits.
There's around too many suits.
There is no scene equivalent to that Obadiah Stane scene. Therefore, the movie is a failure.
I wouldn't say it's a failure. It's just it cannot match the original.
That scene is the best scene in movies that entire year and probably the entire century. No. What's more than century?
Millennium?
Since movies were being made, no line
since
is better.
Movies were... Since movies
Tony
were being
Stark
made, it's
built...
only been about a century, Kevin.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, fine. I still
Less
love that line.
Ago.
It's the greatest line in all of Spoken movies. Screw you, Casablanca.
I think there were too many scenes with Happy Hogan.
That's true, actually.
It's like, just wanted him to go into coma, and we're going, right? Mm. Just coma him, and then let's get going.
And that's another thing that I was actually going to think about it's like... Really, did you really have to motivate Tony Stark in this movie by like having his chauffeur slash friend and his girlfriend like blown up?
Yes.
Apparently.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Because he otherwise wouldn't care.
Yeah.
And also Rhodesy gets like tied up and like tortured too.
He doesn't care about
that. He actually doesn't care about that one.
Oh, what did you think about Iron Patriot?
It was there.
What did you think about War Machine Rocks?
That was funny.
Yes.
It was a good joke. However, it didn't fit in the scene.
I know, exactly. And all I could think about was, like, they wouldn't let you have that password. It's so easy to...
It's not secure.
Yeah, I know. It's so insecure.
Yeah.
Because you can just hack in.
Well, that's the...
Hack in.
With that, in that same shot, in that same scene, is the fact that you keep saying, well, I have to change my password all the damn time because you keep... hacking into it, and
it's like, well, with a password like that, no wonder he keeps hacking in.
Either that, or he just stopped caring.
Yeah,
it's just like I come up with really complex ones, and he hacks through it anyway.
Yeah, I can see that. That
but
makes
they
sense.
Wouldn't, you know, they need to set up that kind of joke, right?
Yeah, it was a quick setup.
Yeah, but anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway,
we need more scenes with a kid. That's why we cut those scenes out.
We need that kid to get Stark Tech, and by Stark Tech, I mean Christmas ornaments full of like. Fertilizer bomb.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Fertilizer bombs. I forgot about that.
Yes. I don't know how that technology worked, but yeah, when he threw out the Christmas ornament and the guy's just like, this, and it explodes, I'm like, that's hilarious. It's so stupid.
Yeah.
Merry
well,
Christmas, you filthy
well,
animal.
You needed Christmas in order for that to work. So if the movie didn't take place during Christmas, that whole scene could not possibly have happened.
No, they would have happened with light bulbs.
No. What? The,
like in
what?
Skyfall.
Light bulbs? Are
Skyfall.
You...
Light bulbs full of nails.
You can't get a proper workout in 6 minutes. 7 is the magic number.
What? No, you have to have someone punch you in the spine really hard to fix your spine, right?
I think that Christmas ornament was just the enough amount of Christmas time that movie needed. Didn't need any more than that. It showed it was winter.
Well, okay. Well, John, you're wrong. So let's just agree that you're wrong and say like there was not enough Christmas in this Iron Man movie. There's not even enough Hanukkah. So okay, so this is wrapping up for Tony Stark.
Not enough Kwanzaa either.
You can email us, hey,
at feedback.
What do you mean?
He just put some candles in some angel food cake.
Is that war machine going around? It's Kwanzaa, everybody.
Oh, my God. Well,
thankfully, it's John who made that joke.
The Iron Kwanzaa Patriot.
So anyway, you can send us feedback at feedback@s-words-podcast.com. You can find us on Twitter at twitter.com/s_words.
Also and online at www.s-words-podcast.com.
So
we're
until,
not dead.
Yeah. So until next time, this has been the Tony Stark episode. Thank you very much.
And we're going to talk about Surgeon Simulator 2013 in the future.
Well, we have to now.
I think that's like, we have to do a broadcast of
I think
us playing
I think that's
it now.
I think that's next Thursday.
No, that's too soon.
Well, also this Thursday, I'm going to Mary Poppins.
Also this Thursday, I'm going to Mary Poppins.
Okay.
We're going to the Mary Poppin Daddies.
Oh, God.
It's a concert.
Okay. For a second there, I was going to, it's like, you're going to watch like a remake of a movie?
Actually, yes, because they turned it into a musical. But anyway.
Okay.
Wait, I'm not going to that one.
Okay. Good night, everybody.
Wait. What?
Clean endings as always, Kevin.
Iron Man!
Woo! I am Iron Man.
I did love that 70s end credit sequence, though.
Yeah.
What, are we still going?
No.
It is still
we're
recording.
Still, oh, God.
I don't
know. It's still recording. This is Kevin we're talking about. He has no reason to turn it off.
Now let's just make
He'll
some
just
racist
fix it in
comments.
Yes, exactly.
Just like we always do.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, now we're actually testing for real. Looks like this is what we want.
Is it
about now?
Is it really what you want? Is this everything you wanted?
Tell me what you want, what you really, really want.
I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want. I wanna.
Zigga zigga.
I wanna.
Zigga zigga.
I wanna really, really, really wanna.
Zigga zig ah. Zigga zig ah.
Ah.
Ah. Loving you is easy cause you're beautiful. Do 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 do.
I can't even do that with a straight face anymore.
Stupid without you even being it.
Oh.
Hey there. Kidneys look like beans.
That's why they call them.
That's why they call them kidney beans.
Oh my God, they look like beans.
I've solved the mystery.
Good job, asshole. You solved the mystery.
How long is that clip for Rage Quit?
There's two of them. Each one is half an hour.
Oh,
I spent an hour watching Surgery Simulator 2013.
Wow.
And originally I heard about it because apparently it's also incredibly entertaining to watch on Twitch TV.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
And also, there are some people that are like apparently really good at it. They have videos like of actual successfully good surgeries. But whoa. I just love the fact that it's so poorly put together that it makes the game way better.
Well, yeah, I've seen that game designed with a slightly better engine, and it is really stressful.
Oh, you mean Trauma Center?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was not good at Trauma Center. I'm not good at performing surgery overall.
It's probably a kind of a niche thing, yes.
I'm not a surgeon. That's probably part of it, too.
Quite possibly.
Are you a surgeon?
No, but you know what?
Are you the keymaster?
Yes. But, you know, Tony Stark's not a surgeon either, but he does a pretty good job.
We have plenty to talk about for surgeries, don't we? Because it's so easy. Apparently, you can just have a Chinese guy do it at the end. And, like, yeah. The whole time, you could have just done that. We'll get into that later.
Yeah, the Chinese version of Iron Man 3, where they
no, just the end of Iron Man 3, where he just takes the shrapnel out.
Well, also,
you could have done this the whole time?
In the Chinese edition of Iron Man 3, that's like Dr. Wu from the beginning.
I know. He's Dr. Wu in the beginning.
Yeah. But, like, they establish a little more for the Chinese market so that he's more popular there, blah, blah, blah.
He still has, like, nothing to do in the movie.
Probably not.
I heard there's nothing.
Even in the Chinese cut?
There's yeah, well, there's also his extra. Assistant, Fan Bingbing.
Fan Bingbing?
Yeah.
Is he secretly Fing Fang Foom?
Bing Bing. Fan Bingbing.
Bing Bing?
Fan Foom. Fing Fang.
Fee Fi Fo Fum.
I smell the blood of an Englishman.
It says I smell the blood of an Englishman.
Did you forget?
What do you mean, did I forget?
Did you forget your rhymes from Jack and the Beanstalk?
That's not even rhyming!
Wait, is this from Jack and the Beanstalk?
Yes.
The one where he puts his thumb in a pie? That's Jack Sprat.
Jack Sprat.
No, Jack Sprat.
No,
Fat, his wife, and Lean. Little Jack Horner stuck his thumb in a pie.
Yeah, Horner. Horner was the one with the thumb.
That was just like a precursor to American Pie.
Oh, God. Thanks, Kevin.
What? No problem.